the wings of eagles. On the wings of eagles, mount up.
Amen. 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 God bless you all. Today I would like to welcome you all to another a broadcast of Advancing the Kingdom Radio. I am your host, Apostle, along with my lovely wife, who will be bringing forth the Word of God on today, Prophetess Jasmine Blair. Amen. We have an awesome segment for you today. I'm particularly excited about this one because this is something that my wife and I have been speaking of for a while now. And it's something that the Lord revelated in the spirit of her and I, amen. But she's really going to dig into it tonight, amen. So without further delay, here is my lovely wife, Prophetess Jasmine Blair.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. I'm excited about this topic because, see, as Apostle Blair and I have been revelating and talking and discussing this topic over the past several weeks, the Lord has really revealed that this is something that's on this really already. It's still on its way in some areas, but in the body as a whole, this is something that has already become a strong man in the church, amen. So we're going to talk about the prejudices in the church today, what they are, what some of them are, what some of the problems are, and what is it that we're going to do about these things to kind of tear these things down. And really, you know, as the Lord was dealing with me earlier, you know, and I said, Lord, okay, it was just so much. Really, this is going to be a part one. We're only going to dig into three of the top three of these things today, because we can go on and on and on and go through and examine different areas of the body of Christ and identify these prejudices in the church and the problems that they cause. And see, really, when we really follow the biblical model, we won't have a lot of these problems. But see, prejudices in the church come for several different reasons. So we're not going to delay. We're going to go ahead and get right into this word, amen, because this is something very heavy. So a prejudice is an adverse judgment or opinion formed beforehand or without knowledge or examination of the facts. A preconceived preference or idea. Let me say that again. A prejudice is an adverse judgment or opinion formed beforehand or without knowledge or examination of the facts, a preconceived preference or idea. So understand, it's not just a judgment, it's an adverse judgment. Well, what is adverse? Acting or serving to oppose, antagonistic. So when we have a adverse judgment, that means it's something that's negative, something that's coming to cause conflict, something that's coming to come up against. So when we have adverse judgment in the body of Christ, we have division. So we're all on unity and, oh, we're supposed to be one body. But until we tear down these prejudices, the adverse judgments throughout the different areas of the body of Christ, we will never truly have unity and be able to function as one in the spirit. Well, why do we have prejudice? For many different reasons. And we're going to dig into some of those today. We're going to talk about some of the different reasons and what some of the main ones are. But hear me in the spirit on this, because a lot of people, as soon as they hear prejudice and all they think about, oh, race and this and this and this. No. We have to see everything that's being said today in the spirit. Because, see, the prejudice will keep the body from fulfilling its full assignment on the earth. As long as we have prejudice in the church can never really do what it was functioned to do. So what are some of the different reasons that we have prejudice? Offense. See, remember, a prejudice is an adverse judgment or opinion formed beforehand without knowledge or examination. See, when we don't have knowledge on things and we don't examine things, a lot of times we have what I call offense based off of an assumption. See, when we fall into an assumption spirit, we think things and assume things that we don't really understand, and as a result of that, we get offended. And Apostle and I talked about this on previous broadcasts, how there are a lot of ministries and there are a lot of outreach and a lot of things in the body of Christ that are already birthed out of rebellion in a spirit of offense. And a lot of times that very offense was birthed out of a prejudice, a negative judgment or opinion. Oh, my pastor's trying to hold me back. They coming up against my ministry. They won't let me preach because they think I'm out-preach them. So, boom, I'm going to leave their church and go start my own. When really they was trying to keep you and train you and release you in your proper season because your character wasn't right. And they were trying to save you from the embarrassment of yourself and losing everything that God has established within you before you went out. But because you left on the assumption that they were trying to come up against your ministry, your whole ministry was really birthed out of rebellion and offense, and there's no father to overcome that ministry. So your spirit of offense, which came from the assumption, was really, now you have birthed into the kingdom a bastard ministry in the spirit. Oh, y'all don't like me today, but that's fine. That's fine. I still love y'all. So when we have these offenses in the kingdom, we create a bunch of turmoil. See, this is why the devil is able to infiltrate the church, because a lot of the ministries we have were never God ordained in the first place. So they were birthed out of these prejudices, and they were birthed out of the judgmental opinions and the adverse assumptions of people and everybody's feelings and emotions and thinking this and feeling that without anybody ever examining anything in the spirit. But see, when we take the time to examine, not after the flesh, because see, we have that problem too. Too many things are examined in the flesh. Well, my pastor this and my apostle that. But no. What is God saying? Despite what you think or feel in your flesh and in your soul, what is God saying to you by the Spirit? See, when we examine kingdom things by the Spirit of God, then we will have a spiritual interpretation and we will come to a spiritual founding. But when we don't, when we examine things in the flesh and we examine things in the natural, our founding or our final opinion about everything is off because it's not examined in the spirit. So this is why the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. Because as long as you know things after the flesh, you know things carnally. Uh-oh. And as long as you know things carnally, you're in a place where spiritually you're walking in death, because you're not supposed to be in the place of the flesh. You're supposed to live in the spirit and walk in the spirit. So if you're living in the spirit and walking in the spirit, then your spiritual examination of everything would be in the spirit. Thus, you will be able to interpret and understand and examine things and come to spiritual foundings in the knowledge and wisdom of God, and not the knowledge and wisdom of the flesh. Oh, y'all don't like that, but that's fine. So some of the other reasons that we have when we look at these offenses when we have the offenses and the things that we deal with are because of these prejudices. We come to a place to where we're so caught up in our judgments, we're so in our wrongful judgments, because the Bible does talk about rightful judging. I feel you. In our wrongful judgments, we get so caught up in what we think and feel is without really taking the time to see that we end up completely off somewhere else that we shouldn't even be. Some of the other reasons that we end up with prejudice are because of the lack of exposure.
Come on.
The lack of exposure in the body. See, let me help you. The church you grew up in is good. The church that you pastor or oversee is good. The ministry that you were trained in is good. The vision and ministry that God gave you to implement is good, but that's not the only ministry out there.
Amen. Say that.
That is not the only ministry out there. But see, we get caught up into what God has given us,
mm-hmm.
that we have a lack of exposure to different expressions of God.
Come on.
And because we have a lack of exposure, God connects us divinely to somebody else, or we come across a different ministry, or we're invited somewhere and we go somewhere, or whatever it is, we come across a different expression of the Spirit of God. And the first thing we want to do is rebuke and call it the devil,
mm-hmm.
because it's unfamiliar to us. Or that ain't straight, or I ain't never seen that, and I don't know about that. Or, I don't know nobody that do that.
Come on.
See, this is why iron sharpens iron. But how many of you know there's different grades of iron?
Uh-oh. Come on. Revelate.
See, when you hang around and you stay in good company with everybody that demonstrates the expression of the Spirit of God the same way that you do, you have a lack of exposure.
Uh-huh.
Let me help some of you. Let me make this simple. Just like you have different expressions, you might be happy or joyful, but you have different expressions of your joy depending upon what you're happy about. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. Even though you're happy, you're crying. Sometimes you're jumping up and down, sometimes you're screaming and shouting. These things that might seem weird, but these are different expressions of your happiness and joy. It's just depending upon what you're happy about and what's going on at the moment, it comes out in a different way. It doesn't mean you're not happy or joyful. It's just being expressed in different ways.
Amen.
But it still falls into the same category. It's the same thing with God's Spirit. Depending upon what He's doing in a specific time and season, His Spirit is expressed in a different way.
Ah, come on.
So sometimes it may come out in more of an order. Sometimes it may come out more freely, depending upon what God is trying to do in that season, the people He's trying to reach, and the message that God is trying to specifically implement through His expression at that moment in time. The expression of God's Spirit is going to come out different.
Come on.
And when we understand this, we will, be careful not to put our mouth on certain people in their ministries. Because some of us have been unconsciously guilty of speaking negatively of a move of God because it didn't come prepackaged in the envelope that we expected to be in.
Oh, come on.
Because brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so that we're connected with and we're in good company with, they've never seen anything like that, and I've never seen anything like that. So it must not be God, because if it was, I would know about it and I would have seen it before. But let me help you. Be careful, because when you carry that attitude, you start walking in the spirit of pride.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to touch more on that later. I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself. But I need you all to hear me in the spirit today. Be careful what manifestations of the Spirit of God that you put your mouth on. Because it may be a strange to you, but it's strange to you does not equivalent strange fire.
Come on.
Let me say that again. It's strange to you does not equivalent strange fire.
Amen.
But we're going to get there in a minute. I'm not trying to get too ahead of myself. So, we've talked about offense and we've talked about lack of exposure, but see, sometimes we fall into, and this can apply to lack of exposure, but sometimes we fall into closed-mindedness and we get hard-headed. Sometimes we'll feel God tugging and pulling us in a different direction. We're used to the expression of God in one way, but God is pulling us in another direction. But because we're not comfortable to it, we become so closed-minded that God can't even expose us to anything else. And we dupe ourselves into a place where we become prejudiced against the very revelation that God is trying to give us.
Come on.
Because it's uncomfortable, because it doesn't feel good, because it doesn't make any sense. Well, Lord, why am I trying to do this? And I've always done it this way, and I've done it this way for the last 5 years, and I've done it that way for the last 15 years, and for the last 20 years, I've always known you to be this way, God. So I'm not receiving this that I'm feeling the tug in my spirit, even though I can identify that as God. I'm going to call it the devil because I'm not ready to move to where God is trying to move me to.
Mm.
So we become closed-minded and shut ourselves out of the very transition in the spirit that God is trying to take us in. And we become, prejudiced against our own destiny.
Wow. Say that again.
We become prejudiced against our own destiny.
Mm.
This is why it's important that we have proper accountability. Because you have to have somebody around you that's going to love you enough to tell you the truth. Because if you end up in this place, God will turn you over to the very lie that you believe. And you'll be stuck and stagnant, never being fully released into your destiny in the height of your ministry. Because you're closed-minded and prejudiced against the very path that God is trying to drive you down. But when you have proper accountability and counsel in the spirit, you will have people to love you enough to tell you, hey, I know you're used to doing this, but God is trying to move you here in this season because there's some people you have to reach. They'll also love you enough to say, even though I'm not operating this way or this is unusual to me, I know that this is something that God is doing.
Yes.
The Bible even talks about how God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul when they were bringing the handkerchiefs to him. You don't hear about that happening with anybody else. But though it was unusual, there were still godly miracles being worked by the hands of Paul.
That's it.
But just because God used Paul and not Peter, that doesn't mean it wasn't God because Paul was the only one doing it.
Come on, come on.
Uh-oh. So this is why we have to be open-minded to the Spirit of God. The Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun, but there are plenty of new things above the sun coming from the heavenly realm.
Come on, say that.
So just because you haven't seen it, that doesn't mean that it's not God. I'm trying to take my time with this one, Apostle.
That's all right. Go.
I'm trying to take my time with this
go
one.
Go for it.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but that's all right. I got to cut this up today. Roboshataya. The next reason why we have prejudice in the church is because of the unhealthy distribution of the fivefold ascension gifts.
Come on.
And Apostle, you know we talk about this one a lot. If I hear one more person say it's all about winning souls, I'm going to scream. It's not all about winning souls.
Uh-huh.
And see, I'm coming to, winning souls is good, but that's not everybody's assignment. And I'm coming to address that spirit and tear that down because that's something that's trying to run the church. That's something that's trying to run off and scare off the apostolic and the prophetic
come
in
on.
This season.
Ooh, come on.
Because I notice, Apostle, almost every time I say something on Facebook, almost every time you say something, and no, this isn't about anybody in particular, but I'm addressing the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Every time I say something, or every time you say something, here comes somebody. Amen. It's all about winning souls. That statement alone just eradicates everything that I said previously.
That's right.
It's not all about winning souls, or I would have said it's all about winning souls. That's not what I said.
And prophetess, I got to say this.
Amen.
I got to say this. I just had a conversation with an apostle today.
Mm-hmm.
About that particular thing, because many people talk about just winning souls only.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about just winning souls only. But see, here's the thing. You still have to have something established in the house to maintain the order
mm-hmm.
that has been set.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. See, as it is in heaven, so it is on the earth. So though heaven is trying to increase its population, there's still a government established in heaven. Hashita Mansoto. There's still a government in heaven to maintain what the Father has established. Mm. Because see, here's the thing: it's all about winning. It's all about winning souls to some people.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that I've seen people be won over for God and won over into a mess and ended up leaving God. Do you hear me?
Amen.
So this is why we have to provide a healthy balance.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelistic only ministries, you notice they lack the power, the discipline, the order. There's a lack of the prophetic and mm-hmm. the supernatural. I mean, they might get into healings and deliverance, but there's no signs, no wonders, no supernatural experiences with God, or none of that kind of stuff, because it's all about winning souls.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you cannot force your mandate on everybody else. Mm-hmm. My God, hear me today. You cannot make nobody's process your process. Mm-hmm. You cannot make somebody else's. You can't make your mandate everybody else's mandate. You can't make your assignment everybody else's assignment. So just because you call to win souls only don't mean that I'm called to do the same thing that you're doing. God may have me in the house, not saying that I can't win souls, but God may have me established in the house to maintain the order that has been established, so that way when the souls come in, they can be fed.
Mm.
Or they can be ministered to in areas of deliverance and healing when it comes to their soul or their body.
Mm.
Hear me today in the Holy Ghost. We have to stop this old false balance in the body.
Mm.
We have to stop this. We have to stop being so evangelical that we dismiss the apostolic because you offended.
Mm.
That you dismiss the prophetic because you're offended. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Asata man sato bohosia. And I come to serve notice and charge your spirit tonight as an apostle of God. Amen. If you don't have the burden to win souls, you probably ain't called to win them.
There it is.
Amen. We need evangelists. We need soul winners. Don't get me wrong. We need them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We need soul winners. They are very important, okay? I'm not dismissing that. But this is a season where God is establishing government in his house and making the church, exposing the church to the government of the kingdom, so that way when you evangelize from a place of government and not a place of just a priestly anointing. Do you hear me? Evangelist in Scripture Mansataya. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I feel the oil of God. Evangelist in Scripture converted whole cities. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, my God. I believe it's Acts 8 when the evangelist went down and preached to the Samaritans. Y'all better hear me today. And it was a warlock running the city. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And the evangelist, my God, hear me today. Ripped the people from the grips of the warlock by preaching the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a place where even the warlock started following his ministry, but for the wrong reasons. So that's when the apostle came in, my God, and came and established order and dealt with the warlock. Do you hear me?
Mm.
It's time, instead of evangelists fighting against apostles, it's time for evangelists, Ashata Manso, to position their spirits in humility to the apostles so that they can receive an impartation of government, my God. So mm-hmm. that way when they go into a region, they can convert multitudes, not just one or two. Do signs, wonders, miracles, deliverance, and supernatural manifestations. So that when the people are won over, the apostle can come in and establish people, put them in place, establish order. Come on now. Raise up the leadership so that the people can be fed. Do y'all hear me today? My God. I'm tired of this old false spirit hollering about we just got to win souls only. When you buck up against the apostolic oil, you bucking up against God. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of posturing yourself to receive a deposit just because that apostle, that prophet ain't doing what you think they should be doing. Hashiko tamansa. It's time to cut out that. Amen?
Amen. And see, as long as you have, let me help y'all. As long as you have that prejudice against the order of God, your ministry will never reach what it's supposed to reach. Because, and we're going to touch on that in a whole nother teaching. But the office of the evangelist is not a governmental office.
Come on, come on.
So though you can bring some in, you can't have the order and the structure. Like I said, it's an unhealthy distribution of the fivefold ascension gifts.
Yes.
If it was all about winning souls, there wouldn't be some prophets and some apostles and some pastors and some evangelists and some teachers.
Come
it
on.
Would just be all evangelists.
Come on, say that.
But the evidence is that in the ascension, he gave some gifts to men.
Yes.
He didn't just give evangelists, because the balance of all five is supposed to bring the saints to a place of perfection and to the knowledge and fullness of knowledge in the stature of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All five are needed to bring the proper balance. All five are needed to bring the body to a place of maturity so they won't be tossed to and fro by every doctrine. The proper balance of all five is what's needed.
Yes, that's right.
Too long the church has been lopsided into just a pastoral model. But then now, we also have too many of these false apostles and prophets.
Yes.
So the church is also lopsided on the other end of the spectrum. And there's too much apostolic and prophetic, and there's not enough pastoral evangelistic, and even not enough teaching in all of them.
Yes.
Because the teacher is the most overlooked office of all five.
Yes, it is.
So when we have the proper balance of all five, the church will be able to move forward and gain the momentum and the thrust that it's supposed to fulfill its very kingdom assignment on the earth. But because we have an imbalance, the church is stuck and it's stagnant.
Come on.
Why? Because of people's prejudice.
Yes.
We got to address this spirit. I told you, this is a strong man today, and we're tearing this thing down.
It's a spiritual prejudice. Do you hear me? This is not against a race.
Amen.
But this is a prejudice against the different movements of the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you how funny God is. There's certain manifestations that I used to preach against. I used to say it was witchcraft.
Mm.
But then God began to deal with my spirit and tell me I was wrong. And then it started happening in my ministry. Do you hear me? Uh-huh. That's how funny God is. Amen. Amen. See, here's the thing. I know that there are extremists out there.
Mm-hmm.
But every manifestation is not a kundalini spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Even though there's kundalini spirits out there, amen. And for those who don't know what kundalini is, it comes from kundalini yoga. It imitates a lot of what's demonstrated in kundalini yoga is imitated, amen, and duplicated, amen, from a lot of the charismatic manifestations, amen, like holy laughter and feelings of joy and different miracles and stuff like that. The enemy seeks to counterfeit all of that, but I believe it's in 2 Thessalonians or 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it talks about how the man of sin will come with miracle signs and lying wonders. So this is why you have to begin to discern properly. But you know, the problem is, prophet, is we don't discern properly no more. We just dismiss everything because it's something that we're not accustomed them to, or a few crackpots out there have misrepresented the manifestations of the kingdom of God. They're supposed to be for the benefit of the people of God, to show God's glory, come on now, and to draw people closer to God. Are y'all hearing me? So now what God is doing is he's raising up authentic apostles, because, see, the apostles got to bring the government and the order. God is raising up authentic apostles to bring realignment to a lot of this stuff. Amen. So I'm going to ask you a cool type. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, and you can confirm this in Scripture. Every genuine movement of God in Scripture was validated by the apostolic. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Even when the evangelists went down there, they had to have the seal of the approval from the apostle. When the apostle came down, the apostle gave the seal of approval, and the apostle was able to set order because they felt the approval of God. They gave their apostolic seal of approval. In this season, there's a lot of movements going on, but I'm going to tell you something. God is raising up authentic apostles to judge a genuine move. Do you hear me? So God is bringing order to a lot of our prejudices. And this is the season of realignment.
Mm-hmm.
And he's bringing everything back to its proper perspective. And that which is supposed to be at the forefront is going to be at the forefront. And that which is supposed to be in the middle of the back is going to be in the middle of the back.
Get it in order.
Shataman sota bohosha.
So, apostles, that means you have to judge it and find out if it is an authentic move of God, not based on your feelings or what you grew up on or what God used as a movement to birth you into your apostleship. But you have to base it upon the authentic voice of God, an authentic move of God, an authentic spirit of God, not just what you think or feel or what's comfortable to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to touch on that in a minute. I'm trying not to get there.
Let me hit it real quick. See, apostles carry a mantle of judgment. Do you hear me?
Oh.
Ashikunda Basaya. Lord, my God, I feel the portals of heaven opening up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Apostles carry a mantle of judgment. Now, let me give you the biblical definition of judgment, okay? It is being able to discern something, okay? Discern the authenticity of something based upon the laws of God imprinted in your spirit. I'm talking in the spirit here. My God, based upon the laws of God imprinted in your heart and in your spirit, my God, you can be able to judge by the mantle that you carry of judgment. You're able to discern and distinguish what is authentic and what is false. Amen. And you're able to declare that and to either declare your apostolic seal of approval, or you can reject it.
Oh, Jesus.
You can reject it as a false movement.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can detect the imbalances and bring order. Amen. So apostles carry a mantle of judgment and wisdom, I hear the Holy Ghost say.
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom, because wisdom helps you to be able to discern and to apply. Amen. Kingdom principles and standards. Amen.
And apostles, with that, it requires you to wield your judgment righteously.
Yes.
You can't just go around rejecting moves of God just because it's unfamiliar to you.
That's right.
Or just because God doesn't work through you in such an unusual way. You can't just go around put rejection stickers on things that are authentic.
Ay, man, so told. That's a dangerous thing.
Ooh, Jesus. See, because when you use your apostolic authority and apostolic judgment unrighteously, you can push somebody out of their destiny and cause them to spiral down into a peril in the spirit.
And you can blaspheme the Holy Ghost, too. You can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. This is why it's important to have the Holy Ghost. Because if you have the Holy Ghost, and if you're submitted to the Holy Ghost, you ain't gonna blaspheme the Holy Ghost. That means that you can detect an authentic move of God.
Let me help you. It's just like when you have a police officer that's going around and using their authority improperly. If they do it long, at first they're going to be warned a couple of times. They might get suspended a couple of times. But if they do it long enough, they will be stripped of their badge and their authority to do so.
Yes.
So hear me today, because some of y'all have ran around unknowingly, some knowingly, and you have put your seal of rejection on something that was actually God because it was unfamiliar to you.
Come on.
God is going to warn you, and God is going to deal with you because God is going to deal with you as apostles. But if you use your judgment unrighteously long enough, you will be stripped of your badge and your mantle of apostolic judgment and authority, and you will be shut down and not able to judge or reject anything anymore. Because some things have not happened because of rejection in the unreceptive spirit in the body of the apostolic and the prophetic. But some things have not happened because there have been illegal apostles and unjudging, unrighteous apostles who have gone around and slapped their seal of the rejection on a move of God. Don't you know that you can hold up depending upon your rank in the apostolic? Don't you know that you can hold up an entire city, state, or region because you're putting your seal of rejection, and you can really call the momentum of the body of Christ in that very region to come to a halt.
Come on.
Because you have that judgment, you have that authority. So even if you're wrong, it's going to halt because you said halt.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to hold up a whole region just because the move of God that's trying to come forth is not what you want it to be.
That's right.
Everybody in that in that region is going to be stuck and stagnant and struggling in the spirit, crying out for the manifestations of the sons of God, because you done called it to a halt with your seal of rejection and sent it back because it's uncomfortable to you.
And then what God will do is he'll strip you of your badge and give it to somebody else.
Uh-oh.
Adabo Shata Bahaya.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know the gifts and callings of God come without repentance, but God will demote your behind.
Ooh, Jesus.
That's a word. That is a word for somebody. God will demote you. God has been trying to get you open to the realm of the supernatural. Amen. You say you an apostle, but you just preach word. Amen. You ain't casting no devils out. Mm-hmm. You ain't laying hands on the sick. Mm-hmm. Ain't no miracle signs and wonders manifesting. Mm-hmm. Amen. Ain't nobody coming to repentance mm-hmm. in your meetings. Mm-hmm. But none of that. You are not an apostle. So you think you got the authority to reject the move. My God, hear me today. Oh, God, I'm talking to somebody. You think you got the authority to reject the move. Amen. But you're operating in illegal authority.
Mm-hmm.
Your authority is false. Amen. Shitaman sotobohosia. And it just like folks are getting arrested for impersonating a police officer, some of you are being arrested in the Holy Ghost for Ashataman sotobohosia. Ikoba satanda da boho. Roba la man siteman de makunda bahaya. Siko tabahaya. You've been warned today. Shataman sia. Some folks are being arrested for impersonating the apostolic office and the prophetic office. God takes them offices seriously. And the seal that he placed on these offices and the authority that he invests in these offices, God takes that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are judging movements and you don't have the authority to judge a movement. Can somebody say, stay in your lane?
Stay in your lane.
Ah, sotomansia. I felt that in the Holy Ghost
mm-hmm.
prophetess.
Mm-hmm.
God is getting ready to judge some of these apostles or some that call themselves apostles, but they're not. Ikobahaya. Some of these folks are getting ready to be tried, like in the book of Revelation where it says, you have judged those who said they are apostles and they are not. There's some who finna to be found out that they ain't no real apostle.
Uh-oh.
I don't know why I'm going here today, but Jesus. The Holy Ghost got me going here. Amen. You don't have the fruits, the manifestation. All you got is word, and you may squirt out a little prophecy every now and then.
Mm.
You are a false apostle. This ain't your season for it. Wait your turn and get your impartation. Get your teaching. Sit under some teaching. You an apostle, but you sit under a bishop, and you got a whole bunch of bishops laying hands on you. Go sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But in all seriousness, amen. Amen. The authentic apostolic anointing, I'm telling you all, the authentic apostolic office is still emerging.
Mm-hmm.
Is still emerging because, see, now there's coming a filter in the apostolic movement. My old Shataya. There's coming mm-hmm. a filtering and a sifting in the apostolic movement. My God. Mm-hmm. The apostolic movement is getting ready to be shaken. My God Almighty. It's getting ready to be shaken. My God. And whatever is authentic is going to remain. And whatever is not authentic is going to be shaken out and cast aside. Watch what I tell you. It's already upon us. It's not mm-hmm. coming. It's here.
And after that, it's going to trickle on down from the apostles to the prophets
right.
to the teachers to the pastors and evangelists.
That's right.
Because once the apostles are in place, they can help do the sifting and the shifting for everything else. Amen?
Mm.
My goodness. But see, another reason why we have prejudice is because of the lack of deliverance ministry.
Yes.
Whoo, Jesus. I just had a vision. Some of y'all that's getting ready to be stripped of your authority is because you had a house of Eli.
Uh-oh.
You allowed some of your sons and daughters to operate in things that they
had no business.
And you didn't address it, because you was doing the same thing behind closed doors. So you let them run around in the house of God and do things that they shouldn't, and you might have said something here and there, but you did not address it and put it out like you were supposed to. That's another reason why some of y'all are getting ready to be stripped of your authority.
And Eli represents, and I'm glad you brought him up, he also represents passive leadership, because you notice when Eli was addressed by the man of God, he had went to his sons and he said, what I hear is not good, but he didn't do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the prophet said, God says, you kick at my offering. Amen. Because the power was in your hand to set order.
Mm-hmm.
But because you were getting fed off the offering yourself, you were getting fed off the offering yourself. You didn't want to make no waves. You benefited from your son's rebellion. Ashakanda Bohosai. Ah, Shitamanso.
Oh, my God.
Good God Almighty. God is angry about that. Ikotamansia. Leaders, hear me. Listen up, leaders. Ikomansita Bahaya. Whatever you allow to go on in your ministries, you will be held accountable for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you see it yourself, or God show it to you, he's going to make sure you see it. He's going to make sure you see it. And if you don't do nothing about it, you want to remain passive because you're benefiting off the rebellion. Mm-hmm. I don't care if your ministry growing. I don't care how fat your pockets is. Amen. You are called to maintain the standards of God,
mm-hmm.
not the standards of how fat your pocket was. Eli was lazy. The Bible says he was heavy.
Don't get me started.
That means he was fat.
Please don't get me started.
He was a fat priest. You hear me? He was a fat cat. He was a fat priest. He got lazy.
Ashatamansia. Urabasha.
He stopped upholding the standards of God. Ikamansia. Knew the ways of God because God taught him, but he got lazy. Some of y'all got lazy, and some of y'all sons and daughters are running crazy right now. Because you got lazy. Shikanda batabuhosia. You got lazy. You wasn't fulfilling your duties as a father. Oh my God. God is ministering to some people. And now your sons and daughters are running crazy. Ashiko bahaya.
But as long as you hold that prejudice, boy, that's my son, that's my daughter, that they can't do no wrong. You are causing them more damage than help. So, the lack of deliverance ministry is really part of the problem. Because, see, had you got delivered way back when and addressed your mess, then you wouldn't feel so uncomfortable and such a prejudice to allow your sons and daughters to continue on in their mess. Because you would have got yours right. And see, when we come to a place, leaders, where we're not delivered from certain things that we're supposed to be delivered of, our biasness in the spirit comes past in our judgment. We're not judging according to the standards of God and weighing according to the standards of God, but we're weighing according to our brokenness and our hurt and our issues in the spirit.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to say this and this, because I know when I dealt with this, I didn't like when so-and-so told me this, so it's all right to do this, or it's not okay to do this because God did this and this. No. That's a biased prejudice.
And you know what? That's Ashiko Bahaya. Lord, I tried to be quiet. I couldn't be quiet and stay still. Ashatamansia. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I've ran across pastors who hate the prophetic,
mm-hmm.
or who scared of the prophetic. So they judge the prophetic unrighteously because they got damaged by an immature or a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, shatamansia. So now they can't even partake or receive from the prophetic because they're judging the prophetic unrighteously.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So the prophetic is just an example, but it could be a number of things, amen. Some folks been in these old kooky kundalini type meetings, amen. And because their life was jacked up, nobody addressed their hurt, and they ended up getting hurt in the midst of that environment, amen. Because everybody was so focused on laughing and gold dust and powder or whatever they do over there. Amen, and all of that other stuff, amen. But their issues went unaddressed, so they labeled a whole movement as false because they had false manifestations and their issues were not taken. The issues were not addressed.
Mm.
So we have to stop being biased and judging unrighteously because of our bad experience. Just because you experience a movement and you had a bad experience, and it doesn't mean the whole movement itself, if it's manifested in another region, is bad. Because it could be more balanced in another region, to where the Spirit of God has order. Amen. As verses 2, what you was in, you had you was in an environment that was more unbalanced and out of control and demonic.
Lack of depth in the realm of the Spirit.
And shallow, see, folks. Shallow. These old shallow apostles and prophets.
Oh, y'all too deep. That's too extra. Well, maybe you're too shallow. Maybe you need to come further down. The Bible says deep calls out to deep.
And I'm going to tell you something. The apostles and prophets who wrote scripture, they were deep people. They were deep people. They weren't shallow. They saw stuff that there was no reference for. Do you hear me? We always holler about, you know, it got to be a reference. Where's the reference? What God was speaking to them, they had no reference. All they had was the voice of God. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So if God dealt with them like that, what makes you think that he won't deal with us like that? I'm gonna tell you something. I've been to heaven. Heaven has a library full of books. Do you hear me? It's full of books. It's a white room trimmed in gold. It's a white room trimmed in gold with a big old podium in the middle. And it is a library. It looks regal. It looks royal. It is a library, and I'm pretty sure it's more than one, but this is the one I went to. There's a library full of books. That means that heaven has revelation that is yet to touch the earth. Ah, my God. Did y'all just hear me? There's revelation that is yet to touch the earth. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be, because see, anything that's anti-biblical is not God, okay? But we have to realize, and I'm going to just say this, I'm going out on a limb when I say this, but all of God is not contained in the Bible. Do you hear me?
I'm going to prove that in just a minute. Stay out there.
The book leads to the author, okay? If I write a book all about myself, it's hard to write every single last detail about myself in one book, huh? I would have to write a couple books. Amen. And we talking about God here. Amen. So God is bigger than all of us. He is eternal. He existed before existence existed. Do you hear me? That's too deep for some people. Amen. So we're talking about God, his wisdom, his creativity, his expression, his kingdom, his government, his order, amen, the currency he has established in heaven, my God, the ranks that he has established, my God, I'm telling y'all, there's more that has not touched the earth that has been revealed yet, because God is still looking for vessels. He's still looking for vessels that he can pour himself into, that he can pour revelation into, that have enough trust and faith in God and enough of a relationship with God that he can pour all of himself into, my God, so that these people can reveal and revelate the mysteries of God. Let me tell you something about a mystery. Mystery has to be revealed. You cannot study a mystery. A mystery can't be taught to you unless it's been revealed to the one that is teaching. Amen. Mysteries are hidden. Anything that's hidden has to be searched out and revealed. Amen. And once you search and go after God, and the Bible says he rewards those that diligently seek him. Once you diligently seek God, he rewards you with revelation. He rewards you with relationship. He rewards you with anointing. He rewards you with miracle signs and wonders. He rewards you with mantles from heaven. He rewards you with the commission. My God, do y'all hear me today? He rewards you. He deposits heaven, a portion of heaven, amen, the knowledge of heaven and the knowledge of his glory in your spirit. I know I'm talking above your head right now, but you can listen to the broadcast a couple times, amen, and get it deep in your spirit, amen, because there's an anointing that's flowing right now. There's a glory that's present, amen, that's coming into your homes, amen. Ashikotabahaya. There's a spirit of revelation that's getting ready to hit about some of you all, Ashitamansia, in the days to come. Ikobasataya. There's an anointing. The spirit of revelation is getting ready to hit some of y'all. Because some of y'all that's listening to me right now, you're hungry. Robo shatamansi. Hey, ho shatamansi. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 4:1.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
1 Corinthians 4:1. It says, let a man so consider us. Now, he was saying us. He was talking about apostles, amen. Not everybody.
Amen. Come on, come on. That's it.
As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, I want you to take heed to something real quick. It says mysteries with an S on the end.
Yes, yes.
Which tells us that it's plural.
Come on.
Which tells us that there's more than one mystery, but there are several. So, if he's saying, consider us mysteries, stewards of the mysteries of God, that means the mysteries have to be released, as Apostle just said, to vessels that can handle it and those that will properly steward those mysteries.
Come on.
Once a mystery or that secret thing that has to be searched out becomes revealed, it's no longer a mystery because it's no longer a secret.
Come on, come on.
So once you have the understanding of it, the mystery then becomes revealed to you. Revealed turns into the revelation because it means that it was already revealed.
You don't mind?
So once you release revelation, it has been a mystery that has been properly stewarded, searched out, understand, and converted into revelation knowledge of God, and it's being released. So we have a prejudice against certain things. Well, God didn't tell me that, or I didn't see that, or I ain't never heard nothing like that. And we talked about this closed mind. Hold on, let me help you real quick. Maybe the mystery that they have searched out and converted into a revelation knowledge and God has given them to release is different and you've never heard of it because the mystery that God has given you to convert and turn into revelation knowledge and release is a completely different mystery.
Uh-huh.
Because of whatever you grew up on or whatever brought you through or whatever way that God took you to bring you in, there are certain mysteries that God gave you to release through that different avenue and that expression of him that you could handle. But there was another mystery over here because God brought somebody through a different trial and error and season to get to where they needed to be. You couldn't handle that mystery, so God had to give it to somebody else.
Yes.
Or maybe because God already knows everything. I tell people God is not slow. Maybe because he already discerned in your spirit that you would have rejected that mystery if he gave it to you. He skipped that and gave you a different one and gave that mystery to somebody else to steward and search out and convert into revelation knowledge and release it upon the earth to the people of God. Every mystery is not going to be to your understanding because every mystery is not meant for you to search out and turn and release to the people. You're not going to understand everything. Everything is not. You are not the end all and be all to every mystery of God.
Amen.
Some folks think they are the fourth person in the Godhead. I'm sorry, but you're not. Everything is not going to come by you. Because there are certain mysteries that you are assigned as apostles, because it's not for everybody. Uh-huh. There are certain mysteries that you are assigned as apostles to search out and convert into revelation knowledge and then release.
Mm-hmm.
So if it doesn't come by you, that means it wasn't assigned to you.
Amen.
But be careful not to put your mouth on something just because it's not assigned to you.
Come on, come on.
Because that's where we end up getting ourselves in trouble. That's where we end up getting ourselves in trouble because we put our mouths on things and say it's not God just because it was not released to us. And that's a spiritual prejudice of the revelation and knowledge of God. Because it wasn't revealed to us, we automatically want to call it false. We automatically want to call it demonic. We automatically want to say it's not God.
Because
it was not revealed to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not revealed to us. We got to get it right. We got to get it in order.
Amen.
The next thing. that we have a spiritual prejudice against. The administration of spiritual gifts.
Uh-oh.
1 Corinthians 12.
Come on.
See, y'all thought we weren't going to give y'all no scripture.
Uh-huh.
1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different differences of ministries, but of the same Lord. What does that mean? Every ministry is not going to look like your ministry. Every demonstration of gifts is not going to look like the way that you demonstrate the gifts that the Holy Spirit assigned to you. Because the Bible does say he gives us gifts according to his will. Everybody is not going to look like you. But though they are different gifts, they are of the same Spirit. Verse 6. And there are diversities of activities, but in the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is giving to each one for the profit of all. For to one is giving the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Let me stop right there. It says gifts of healing.
Gifts.
And both of those are plural. So there's several gifts, different gifts for several different kinds of healing.
Come on.
Several different gifts for several different kinds of healings.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe God may have you to heal cancer by rubbing anointed oil on a cancerous area. Let's say they have cancer of the skin. And maybe God called you and your specific gift of that particular kind of healing to heal it by way of rubbing the anointed oil on the cancerous area of skin. Maybe God called somebody else to heal that same skin cancer by smacking the person on the arm.
Uh-huh.
That does not mean it's not God or it's of a strange fire just because you don't operate in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, we need to discern and judge because some folks is kooky out there and they're very spooky and they do things by a strange fire.
Uh-huh.
But just because it's not something that we're familiar with, we cannot come into saying that it's wrong by an opinion formed beforehand without the knowledge or examination.
Uh-oh.
We have to examine it by way of the Spirit. See, we have too many of these prejudices in the body because we don't want to examine anything. We automatically want to say it's not God. Examine things in the Spirit before you put your mouth on them.
Mm-hmm.
My God. And when we do that, we will come to a seat. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of us, even though you're laying hands, because I feel this for somebody, whether you're on the line or you're listening to the broadcast or somebody's going to listen later. This is for more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are laying hands and people are being healed. They're recovering. You're casting out devils. God is working miracles and manifestations of his Spirit by you, but you're waiting on a healing yourself. And the reason why you have not received the healing that you're waiting on is because you have put your mouth on a strange gift of healing that God is trying to use
Uh-oh.
To come heal you.
Uh-oh, come on.
So even though God is working healings by your hands, the very particular gift of healing that's going to heal the particular thing that you need healed, you're putting your mouth on, and that's why you're still sick.
Say that.
And you're wondering, God, why is it that you're using me? I'm casting out devils. I'm healing the sick. And all these different manifestations of miracles are happening by way of your Spirit. Why am I still sick? Because you're putting your mouth on the very expression of healing that God is trying to use to bring healing to your house.
Come on.
Maybe the way you flow isn't the way that God is trying to heal you. But see, you think God is going to heal everybody the way he used you to heal. But see, he's going to take somebody else with a different gift of healing to heal you. One, so you can be exposed to a different expression of the Spirit of God. But two, so you can be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of folks, well, I can heal myself. No. God's finna use somebody else to keep you humble and in your place.
That's it right there. Come on.
I feel that in the spirit. So if God is using you to cast out devils and to heal the sick, and you're still sick yourself, go lay before God and find out who or what it is you put your mouth on.
Come on.
Because that's why you're struggling.
That's a word there.
There are different administrations of the spiritual gifts. And let me help you, because I just said this a minute ago. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts according to His will, according to our assignment. So the administration of gifts you have are for your assignment and destiny, just like the administration of gifts that I have are for my assignment and my destiny. But it is completely wrong and out of order for me to say that the way you administrate in your gifts is not God. You have a different assignment than I do. You have a different destiny than I do. You have a different set of souls that you're called to reach than I do. You have a different set of people that you're called to teach, train, equip, and release than I do. So it's out of order for me to sit there and say, well, that's not God, because you're not called to the same group of people I am. And we have to watch this, leaders, because there are too many of us. Well, that's not God. I don't know about. I'm not called to the same group of people that you are, just like you're not called to the same group of people that I am. So whatever God is giving you is for the realm that you're called to reach. And the sooner we understand our assignments, let me help you, because I feel my God. I feel somebody in the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to set you free. Some of the folks that left were meant to leave because they could not receive from the style that God gave you.
Come on.
You were never called to them in the first place. It's not your fault that they left. You didn't damage them. You didn't hurt them. You just was not called to them in the first place. And whether they left now or they left later, it was bound to happen because you were just not called to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel somebody on the line. You're feeling bad. You're feeling guilty. You're feeling hurt, like you done led somebody astray. No. It was never about you, because you were never assigned. That particular person's soul was never assigned to your oversight in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Release yourself from that. They need to go on and find the leader that their soul is assigned to. You weren't assigned to them.
That's right.
So it wasn't that you was doing anything wrong or that you was out of order. They just could not receive, and there was a repellent in their spirit because you were not assigned to them.
Uh-huh.
Everybody that comes through your church is not assigned. You're not assigned to.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not assigned to you. So some folks are going to come and go until they mosey on and find the place that they really supposed to be, which half of them need to go back to some of the places they left, but we're not going there.
Come on.
Amen. That's a whole nother teaching right there. 1 Corinthians 3:4. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
1 Corinthians 3:4. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm sorry. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. Uh-oh.
Come on.
I just saw something else. I feed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal.
Still.
For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal in behaving like mere men? Uh-oh, that's an insult, because you're not supposed to be behaving like mere men. You're supposed to be behaving as a spiritual people. For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe? As the Lord gave to each of you, each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. What we've entered into through this example in Scripture is what I call a denominational supremacy.
Come on, that's it. That's it right there. Talk about that.
We've entered into a denominational supremacy.
Uh-oh.
I'm Pentecostal. I'm Kojic. I'm Holiness. I'm AME. Let me help you with something. Your denomination is not law, and everybody else falls up underneath it.
Say that. Say that.
Because the Bible says when you talk like this, we just read it, you're carnal.
Come on.
The Bible says, we just read it, when you talk like this and you behave like this, you're carnal. You're not a spiritual people, but you're mere men. You can't,
Come on.
You can't even enter into the spirit with this denominational supremacist attitude.
Come on.
Because it's keeping you carnal into the realm of the natural.
Say that. Say
you
that.
Can't even become a spiritual people until you get past the denominational supremacy that's deeply rooted and embedded in your spirit.
Come on.
When we get past that, we'll be able to enter into the things of the spirit. And yes, I know that there are several more denominations, but I just named a few for example.
Mm-hmm.
But this applies to every denomination. He came to the people and said, you're carnal. I want to talk to you as a spiritual people, but I couldn't then because you was carnal. And I can't now because you're still carnal. Because you're doing this and this. And really what matters is that God gave the increase.
Amen. And you know, the apostle called that strife.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He called it envy, strife, and division.
Come on. And see, this is the problem. This is why denominations are not of God. Yes, God moved because of his grace and mercy. That wasn't his seal of approval.
Mm-mm. Apostle, let me touch that real quick.
Go ahead.
See, this is why we have to understand, oh my God, prophets, we have to understand the times and seasons intertwined with the history of God.
Come on, come on.
Because there were certain manifestations that God had go on at specific times in history as a result of what was going on in the natural world. As a result of what was going on naturally, God gave certain moves and manifestations spiritually to unction the people to move into eventually getting into his proper order. But see, the problem is we took a movement and made a whole denomination out of it.
Come
and
on.
We never got in proper order and proper alignment with the fivefold ascension structure.
Come on.
And as a result of that, these denominations were birthed out of that. We take certain movements that God used to stir the people or to stir the spirit and to stir to eventually move. We never eventually moved. We stayed there.
Come on, come on.
So this is why we have these denominations, exalting themselves as strong men in the church. God never meant for that to be. It's like I say all the time, if we follow the biblical model that's already in place, we will be all right. I have nothing against the different structures that we've seen with the pastors and the bishops and the elders, but that's not the biblical model.
Come on.
When we read the Bible and we follow the blueprint that's already in place, we won't have to get off track. Well, there's different strokes for different folks and different bait for different fish, but that's not biblical.
Come on.
There's a simple biblical structure for how the church is supposed to be ran, and I've only seen one exception for how the church is supposed to be ran. There was another model by the church in the church of Antioch. When we follow the biblical model, we won't have any problems.
Amen.
But see, we're too busy I'm trying to do it like Pastor so-and-so, and this and this. Let me help you. If Pastor so-and-so, God bless them, it don't mean they living in sin or whatever, but if Pastor so-and-so's model is not biblical, if it's not adhering to the biblical blueprint, then it's not of God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mean they false. Don't mean they not of God. Just that model is not of God.
Amen.
Love Pastor so-and-so, but you got to follow the biblical blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
But these denominations are exalting themselves as strong men in the church because we want to be this and we want to be that. And everybody we connect to, we want to bring them into how we do things. No, 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 no. Because we already talked about it. As long as they're called to different administrations of spiritual gifts and they're called to release revelation from different mysteries that God has given them to steward and release over the earth from the realms of heaven, then they're going to do something different. But that doesn't mean that the blueprint and the biblical model changes. It's just the expression of the biblical model changes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we need to understand at large, because a lot of leaders don't understand that. oh, well, so-and-so is good, but they'd be better if they was Kojic, or they'd be better if they was Pentecostal, or they'd be better if they was AME, or they'll be better if they was this and that. No. They'll be better if they're following the biblical model and not doing what it is that you think that they're doing.
And you know what, prophetess? I want to use my experience for a second real quick. And this is why I refuse to be tied down to any clique or any circle or
call
any
it
denomination.
Out. Mm-hmm.
Because the apostles rebuke that stuff.
Yes.
See, a true apostle is not a part of a denomination. Y'all gonna get me in trouble right here. A true apostles are not a part of denominations. Do you hear me? Ashukunda Basia. Because the an authentic apostolic mantle will repel the idea of a denomination. Because denomination means divided nations. So the true apostolic mantle will call for unity, not division. But you notice it was the people. Mansiko Tabahaya. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I just saw something. It was the people that started saying, I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. And see, when true apostolic ministry is absent, the people are free to label or dictate a move. My God. The people are free, you know, to dictate what the move is going to be. When God spearheaded and sealed everything through the apostle. Oh, y'all not liking me today. Ah, my God. So here's how many denominations started. Because it was started by genuine men of God, whether they called themselves apostles or not. Amen. It started by genuine men of God, amen, who wore the apostolic mantle upon their life. But after that apostle died off, all of a sudden the people tried to carry on the tradition by naming the movement after... Come on.
There it is.
Naming the movement either after the man, or what the man did. Ah, my God. So, this is how we get denominations. And then as the denomination grows, the structure becomes more legalistic than apostolic. It becomes more religious than relational. Becomes more religious than relational. So this is why now the apostolic movement has to come into place to bring kingdom order to this stuff so that the fullness of the kingdom can be manifested in our generation, because the kingdom is here, but it still has to advance in the earth realm. Eshatamansia. And part of what's hindering the kingdom from advancing, or why we don't see greater manifestations of the kingdom or greater works, is because we got this denominational fluff going on. It is a spirit of religious traditionalism, religiosity and tradition, that is keeping the people from fully entering into the kingdom of God. This is why apostolic order must be in place to address these prejudices. The spiritual prejudiceness in the house of God. Some people say, you know, if it ain't holiness, it ain't right, because holiness is still right, and we the only ones that's still right. I heard somebody say that one time, a bishop down in Texas. I heard him say, holiness, we the only ones still right. Yeah, with your hats and your long skirts. Your hats and your long skirts. Amen. And half the folks in your congregation are going to hell. Because half of them ain't living holy in no way. So, here's the thing. People take Ashatamansia. They take one expression of God and make it a whole movement, and make the movement more than what it was originally intended to be. So this is why in the holiness movement you got all these long skirts and all these can't wear earrings, can't wear this, can't do this, can't do that, gotta wear dresses, gotta wear this, gotta wear that. Because that wasn't what the movement was intended to be in the first place, but because people don't accurately study scripture in its original context, mm-hmm. they take about one or two scriptures and make a whole movement out of it. Mm-hmm. Incorporate it in the culture of that movement. And they make that the standard of the culture of the movement.
Mm.
My God. So you got Baptists who emphasize the baptism of water, but they don't emphasize the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's mm-hmm. baptism too.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Amen. So you got Pentecostal Assemblies of the World who believe in oneness, that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit was the same person.
Which is a lie from the pit.
Which is not even scripture. Oneness doctrine is not even scripture. Who was Jesus praying to when he was walking the earth himself?
Who was he sitting at the right hand of?
Who came upon him after he was baptized? Who did he say he have to sin? He got to go away that he must sin. So that shuts down the oneness doctrine right there. Well, everybody take all this stuff. Why? Because when apostolic authority is missing,
mm-hmm.
people make their own laws and their own rules.
Oh, Jesus.
And now we got folks calling themselves apostles that's going right along with this stuff when they're supposed to set this stuff in order.
Mm.
That's how I know they ain't real apostles. Because they don't have no revelation of the government of God for that particular movement. And it's pitiful, and it's sad.
My God. Amen. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll definitely have some more things for you. My goodness.
And Lord, we declare, as the spirit of Elijah come forward, that the Lazarus generation, those that have been buried, oh God, by the criticism and the social status and the labor that the culture of this world has placed upon them, that this Lazarus generation will rise. When the spirit of Elijah is released, there's going to be a resurrection power, oh God, in that the Lazarus generation
signs
will come forth.
Wonders, miracles,
signs and wonders.
Signs, wonders.
Hey! Hey!
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The Lord began to speak to me while that song was playing. Ikuman City de Bihushia. There's somebody named Beth. I heard the name Beth. Somebody named Beth is listening to me right now. My God, I feel the glory of God. I don't feel the anointing, I feel the glory. There's a difference. Shikunda Man City de Bihushia. There's a creative miracle. Ah, She Manso. There's a creative miracle taking place in your brain right now. Ah, Man City de Bihushia. I'm seeing something and I don't even know exactly what I'm seeing, and I'm not getting a word of knowledge as far as name, the name of your condition, but there's something vital deteriorating in your brain. But there's a creative miracle happening in your brain right now. My God, you just lift your hands and receive that. You feel the power of God sitting mostly on your head right now. There's, you feel him on your body, but he's you feel something moving in your head right now. That is the creativeness of God working in your brain right now. Beth, whoever Beth is, you're receiving a creative miracle. Ashatamasia, right now in the name of Jesus. And we seal it. We seal it. We seal it. We seal it in the blood of Jesus. Andaboko shimanse. Horaba sandala bahaya. Rebededebehu kandala bahande lebeshitaya. My God, I feel some healings taking place right now. Mm. I feel ulcers disappearing. I release the healing and the miracle working power of God. Right now, ulcers are disappearing. There's somebody that got lumps on their breasts. Mm-hmm. Lay your hands where the lump is at right now. Do it quickly. 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 Ashatamansiya. Lay your Asha Tabahaya. Those lumps are disappearing right now. Ashikataya. We curse every cancerous and non-cancerous growth in the name of Jesus. Ashikotabahaya. Right now, somebody had a dislocated disc in their back. God is popping that back into place. Oraman City Dibihu. You feel a warmness on your back, but you get ready to feel a shifting. Right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody had some surgery on their neck and I'm seeing a bone that was removed, but God is a creative miracle. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you're faithful. There's a creative miracle taking place right now in the name of Jesus. And I heard the name Hank. There's somebody named Hank. Hank, I very rarely I hear a name like that, amen, but somebody named Hank, God is working a miracle for you right now in your lower back, spinal area. God called your name out to me while the music was playing too. He just reminded me of your name again. Hank, God is working a miracle for you right now with the name of Jesus. And if I don't call out your condition, receive your miracle and your healing by faith. I feel weight loss miracles. Get ready. I feel weight loss manifestations, supernatural weight loss. Amen. Just begin to run in place for about a minute. Do it now. Do it now by an act of faith and obedience to the word of the prophet. Amen. Just run in place right now. Run in place for 1 minute, 60 seconds, and begin to check your waistline. I can guarantee you, your pants don't look like it's about to fall off. Somebody getting ready to drop six sizes. I hear God. Six. I hear six. I hear it. Oh, toto sha. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody's legally blind in their right eye. Legally blind. I just heard the Holy Ghost. Legally blind. Lay your hands upon your eyes right now as God is restoring your sight. in Jesus' name. If you received a testimony, amen, if God touched you, if God healed you, or if you was blessed by the broadcast, amen, definitely we want to hear a shakutaba, and God is still moving right now, amen. We want to hear about it, amen. You can email us, or you can directly message us on Facebook, amen. Spirit of Elijah Ministries, that's the name of our ministry, amen. Advancing the Kingdom Radio is sponsored by Spirit of Elijah Ministries. That's our ministry. Amen. You can hit us up on Facebook, or we have a website, www.soeministries.com. Amen. I am Apostle Lionel Blair, a senior. Amen. And this is my wife who so revelated tonight, Prophetess Jasmine Blair. Amen. Definitely, if this ministry has been a blessing to you in any kind of way, I want to encourage you all to sow into this ministry. Amen. We are not bad ground, I guarantee you. Amen. We have testimonies of people, amen, getting promotions, amen, and financial increase. We've even had money multiplication miracles, amen, happen, amen, as a result of the oil of God on this ministry, amen. I don't just say this just to say it, amen, amen. We ain't after your pockets, amen. We just trying to get you to partake of what God wants to do in your life, if that's the thing that God wants to do in your life, or the thing that you want to partake of. Amen. So definitely, if you want to sow, you can go to our website, www.soeministries.com. Amen. www.soeministries.com to sow. Amen. And we're going to be updating our website soon. Y'all going to have to excuse my prayer language. Amen. It just comes out. It flies out my mouth because I'm still in the Spirit. I'm still in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to make sure I get all of that out. Amen. Before God speaks anything else. Amen. I still feel miracles happening. I still feel healing taking place right now. I feel it by the Spirit of God. Amen. I didn't even call some stuff out that's happening right now. Robo Sata. Somebody's child is getting ready to come home. Your child has been missing, but he is getting ready to come home. Ashikonda Bahai. And I feel he and she. There's a he and a she that's missing, that's getting ready to come home. They are fine. They are safe. Robo Sataya. They're getting ready to come home. They're getting ready to be found. They're getting ready to be convicted. They're getting ready to come home. Ikonda Basata Bahaya. And somebody's been praying for a relative. I don't know if it's a son or a nephew, one of those. Amen. Who's serving a jail time. Amen. I speak by the Spirit of God that they're getting ready to get an early release. Do you hear me? They get ready to get an early release because they prayed and made a covenant with God when they was in jail. So God has given them a chance. And you tell them that the apostle and the prophet said this.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That they made a covenant with God. My God, God is talking tonight. Amen. They made a covenant with God when they was in the jail. Amen. That they was going to turn their life around if God got them out of jail. I'm telling you, they got Ashataya. They got another 7 months. And if you've been praying for this particular person, I'm telling you, tell them, Ashataya, that they got 7 more months. Amen. He's supposed to serve 2 years. Ashataya. God is very specific tonight. And I hear the name Marcus. Marcus. They got 2 years. Amen. But God is going to take them out of there in 7 months. Ashakata. And God's going to hold them to their vow. And if they don't keep the vow, they're going to go back in there,
mm-hmm,
and they're going to serve 10 years. Do you hear me? Shetamansia. Ashika. That's the consequence. Be sure to relay the message just how I said it. Ikatabohosia. Thank you, Jesus. And Marcus. Tell Marcus that. Tell Marcus. God has given him a second chance. Ikatabahaya. And God is going to hold him to his vow. Hallelujah. Raman Sidi Bikumbansaya. Amen. And while I'm giving messages, announcements, amen, for those of you who are in the Hampton Roads area, amen, Hampton, Newport News, even if you cross the water in Norfolk or Virginia Beach, if you're in Williamsburg, amen, in Yorktown, amen, Gloucester, Grafton, wherever you stay at, amen, I want to encourage you to come and to visit our services, amen. We have signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverance, amen. God does it all there, amen, by the power of God. It's all about God, amen. And the lives have been changed, amen. Lives are continually being changed, amen, as the work of God is going forth, amen. And if you want to know where we fellowship and where we have our services at, is at the Hampton Inn and Suites, amen. The Hampton Inn and Suites, right off of Jefferson Avenue in Newport News, Virginia. The address is 12251 Jefferson Avenue, 12251 Jefferson Avenue, and that's in Newport News, Virginia. It's in the Hampton Inn and Suites, right across from the Patrick Henry Mall. Amen. That room be full of glory. Amen. That room be full of the glory of God. Amen. And I want you all to come and experience that. I ain't trying to recruit no members. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. If God tell you to become part of our fellowship, then fine. Amen. But I just want you to come and experience the move of God. Amen. And the revival that's taking place in the 757. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to be a part of it. I don't want you to miss it. Amen. I'm not saying we the only ones that's doing what God has called us to do, because I know we're not the only ones. There's certain ones that God got set up, amen, in different parts of the city and in the region, amen. But my God, just like prophetess say, we have a different expression mm-hmm. of the kingdom, amen, that is vital to the body, mm-hmm. amen. Just like others have a different expression of the kingdom that's vital to the body that we need to partake of, amen. And we have, and you have to judge which manifestation is best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. You got to know which manifestation or movement that you're supposed to be a part of. My goodness. Hallelujah. So I just want you to come and experience God. Amen. Hallelujah. So amen. I don't have anything further else to say. Amen. Prophetess, I almost called you apostle. Prophetess, you got anything else you got to say?
No, I don't have anything else
amen.
To say.
Hallelujah. We love y'all. We love y'all. Amen.
Apostle?
Yes.
Hey, this is Darnell.
God bless you,
I want you to pray for me before you hang up.
Okay, what's going on?
Just prayer. Just one prayer in general.
Andaboko shataya. Ah, shitabahosia. You know what I heard the Lord say? I heard the Lord say, relief is in your press. I know it seems like God is stretching you a lot, but it's in your press, and the enemy's fighting you right now because you have rightly positioned yourself with divine authority. And he wants to do everything he can to knock you out of pocket. But I heard the Lord say, if you would just stand still, don't mean be immobile, but just stand still and rest in God. Raman Siti Bikushia. You will see breakthrough. There's a breakthrough that's coming, but see, there's a breaking before there's a breakthrough. Ashiko Tabahaya. And you're experiencing the breaking before the breakthrough. Do you understand, son?
I understand.
There's a breaking before the breakthrough. I'm trying to pray for you, but God ain't letting me. He just told me to release that word to you. And you're experiencing the breaking before the breakthrough.
Okay.
So that's your word. Keep allowing God to break you, and you keep breaking through the thing, through that which you're pressing up against, and eventually you're going to have breakthrough, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Abba Shiko Bahaya.
Hallelujah. Apostle Blair.
Yes.
Yes, this is Isaac.
God bless you.
Yes, my prayer request is just to increase my consistency in the working of miracles, all for the glory of the Most High Almighty.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Father, I pray for Isaac right now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I just heard the Lord say it just takes discipline, a greater level of discipline. Because in order to move in the realm of glory that you're seeking, it takes a greater application of discipline. It takes constant consistency. I'm going to tell you something. God is a God of routine. Amen. The Bible describes how Daniel prayed 3 times a day. It was a routine that he did daily. So you have to discover, I hear God say, your routine in the Holy Ghost. Mm. The routine, the very thing that you have to do daily in order to see the glory of God manifest in your life. Because, see, God is trying to take you beyond the realm of anointing and to move you into the fullness of his glory. But there's some things I hear God say that in your routine is going to cause some things to break from around you and up off of you that's resisting you from entering into the fullness of the manifestation of the glory in which you seek. So it's going to your success in the kingdom is linked to your daily routine. And it's in the discipline. And it's in the greater level of discipline. I'm not saying you're not disciplined now, but it's a greater level of discipline and commitment to the things of the kingdom that God is requiring in order for you to move in the types of manifestation that he's shown you. That's the word of the Lord. Ashikobasaya. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else before we get off this line? Andabohosia. My God, I just saw, Lord knows, I don't prophesy no money to folks. Amen. I rarely give those type of words. But somebody who's lacking is getting ready to receive unknown money from an unknown source. This is a work of the supernatural. Amen. This is not something that you're going to ask somebody for and they're going to give it to you. This is going to be a work of God and a work of the supernatural. Amen. When it manifests, give me your testimony. It's going to happen within a week's time. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we get off the line? All right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, y'all, I love y'all. We get ready to close out. Amen. But let's just remember to keep this thing kingdom. Amen. Stop out with all this denominational foolishness. Amen. 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 Just stick to the script. Stick to the scriptures. Amen. Amen. If it's in the Bible, it's for you. Amen. And even if God trying to take you to a realm of revelation that you don't got no reference for, as long as you holy, amen, as long as you living holy and you living a life that's in alignment with the standards of God, amen, you all right. Amen. And if you get off track, Holy Ghost going to get you back on track. Amen. That's where your faith got to be at in this season. All right? So I love you all. Until next time, let's keep it kingdom. Love you. Goodbye.